ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The first contest in the Republican presidential primary is just 24 hours away. And ahead of the Iowa caucuses, ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Des Moines says the polls show one candidate in the lead.
The ABC News Ipsos poll finds GOP-leaning voters score Donald Trump best by far on electability, leadership, and qualifications. When it comes to who's thought to have the best chance in November, Trump is ahead of his nearest rival by 56 points.
Major hurdle for caucus day are the expected record low temperatures, part of a pattern of winter weather being blamed for 3 deaths in Oregon, thousands of flight cancellations nationwide, and last night in Kansas City, the 4th coldest NFL game in history. China's foreign ministry says the U.S. message congratulating the newly elected president of Taiwan violates China's One China policy. China considers Taiwan a breakaway province and has labeled the new president a troublemaker. This is ABC News.
Her name is Pam Yonke.
How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating, without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The first contest in the Republican presidential primary is just 24 hours away. And ahead of the Iowa caucuses, ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Des Moines says the polls show one candidate in the lead.
The ABC News Ipsos poll finds GOP-leaning voters score Donald Trump best by far on electability, leadership, and qualifications. When it comes to who's thought to have the best chance in November, Trump is ahead of his nearest rival by 56 points.
Major hurdle for caucus day are the expected record low temperatures, part of a pattern of winter weather being blamed for 3 deaths in Oregon, thousands of flight cancellations nationwide, and last night in Kansas City, the 4th coldest NFL game in history. China's foreign ministry says the U.S. message congratulating the newly elected president of Taiwan violates China's One China policy. China considers Taiwan a breakaway province and has labeled the new president a troublemaker. This is ABC News. The Associated Press reports John Kerry is stepping down as President Biden's special climate envoy.
Kerry was tapped for the specially created role shortly after President Biden's election victory. His job was to lead efforts to fight climate change on behalf of the administration on the global stage. He spoke recently at the COP28 climate change conference in Dubai, urging countries to act.
We have to cut emissions. That's the way we solve this problem.
Kerry was one of the leading drafters of the 2015 Paris Climate Accords. An official announcement is expected soon. His departure first reported by Axios. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Today is the 100th day of the Israel-Hamas war, and the Palestinian Health Ministry, controlled by Hamas, says more than 23,000 Palestinians have been killed. Adnan Abu Hasna with the UN Refugee Agency says widespread hunger is a major concern, as about half the buildings in Gaza have been destroyed. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Oh, only people to ever go back-to-back was like Devin Hester and Cordell Patterson, so that's a hell of a group to be with.
The Packers take on the Cowboys in Dallas in the wild card playoffs Sunday. Has he ever returned one at AT&T Stadium?
I've never played in Dallas. It's going to be brand new for me.
That's the Packers kick returner, Keyshawn Nixon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands?
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Wind chill advisory in effect as the wind chill will get down close to 25 below zero at times. Thanks to gusty west winds, we'll see plenty of clouds or highs just barely above the zero mark. Tonight, as cold as 15 below, the wind chill colder than 30 below. Right now, it's 8 below.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. He's back, Johnny Lupinacci, he's back. Hey. We missed you, my friend.
Yeah, man. We had a little New Year's break, a little hockey over in Seattle for the Winter Classic. It was good times to be had.
Had to explain to Anya what the Winter Classic was.
I had no idea.
Come on, it's Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, I had to tell her. It's like they play hockey in a football stadium, man. It's like, you know, actually, Pittsburgh Penguins were the first ones to do it, weren't they?
Against Buffalo, yep, up in Buffalo. It was up in New York, but Pittsburgh Penguins played the first Winter Classic. Yep.
So there it was. So Johnny Lupinacci was there, and on his way back, a little too much weather got in the way of making him get back in time for the show. But he's back, and Anya's back there in the studio. Hey, jump on 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Gonna try something tonight. We always say Busted Pencils is the education show for my neighbor, for your neighbor, for that person across the street, trying to bring something to you to go, I have heard a lot about this. Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, you are an educated educator talking education. You came up in the ranks. You learned about this whole thing called plagiarism. Plagiarism's in the news right now. Who'd have ever thought that plagiarism would be in the New York Times? But it is. The president of Harvard stepped down based on the fact that technically she, in through some of her dissertation to get her doctorate and through some of her published works, it was shown that she plagiarized. I'm thinking, does my neighbor even know what that means? What does it mean to plagiarize? We've got a guest tonight. Before I introduce her, though, Joan, I'm going to think about this. Maybe the best way to remember this, depending on your age, but, you know, if you're a little bit in, you know, up there and in your 30s, I'm wondering, do you remember sitting down in 11th grade learning to write that first term paper or whatever it was, and you got the 3x5 note cards and you started learning how to read articles and take notes? And during that time, you got to either take notes or you took direct quotes. And then when you sat down to write, you had all those note cards down and you learned up and down that if you're going to use direct quotation, you got to use quotation marks, you got to cite it, because if you don't do that, that's plagiarism, that's against the law, you're a bad person. So I was thinking about that. Maybe that's the first memory, or maybe even some people's last memory of plagiarism, was doing that term paper sometime in high school. But we did note cards, but you knew that when you were taking notes and reading articles, that there was something about saying you had to give credit. That's kind of at the heart of the plagiarism. We got an expert, though. She is the senior program coordinator for the interdisciplinary writing flag requirement at the University of Texas Austin. She works with faculty who teach writing intensive courses in 15 colleges and schools in enrolling over 30,000 students annually. Oh my God, can you imagine checking those term papers? 30,000? She's taught literature and rhetoric at the University of Hawaii, Hilo, St. Edward's University, and the University of Texas, Austin. Her non-academic writing also includes works at The Owl, McSweeney's, and she has her memoir, Smile at Strangers. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Dr. Susan Shorn. Susan, how is that?
That was awesome. So glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, so we were here. We tried to do a lot of prep to get this and come through. That was my thought since you and I talked this afternoon about this. Is that a good way to potentially introduce plagiarism? Was those 3x5-inch note cards, taking notes, lining them up, and somewhere your English teacher saying, and you better make sure that you quote this the right way, because if not, oh, that would be plagiarism. And if you plagiarize, you fail.
I definitely have that memory, but I'm sure that dates me quite a bit. I'm curious if Johnny has the same memory or if he might be of a more recent vintage on his plagiarism instruction.
I'm maybe right on the cusp of it being that. I think I'm like pre all the Turnitin.com stuff. I learned to write that way. It was elements of style and an APA manual and a Chicago and a MLA. And it was like, depending on which college course you had, you know, those were the rules, but they stayed pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Name the people the ideas came from. And anything that used direct words, like the same words from another page, you know, put that in parentheses and quote that directly. And yeah, yep. And yep. I don't know, it was hammered pretty hard at all levels of education.
Yeah, and I remember that being a jump from high school where they literally had the note cards. And then by the time I got into college and was writing longer papers, you could Xerox things. You could go to the library and just Xerox stuff. So then it was like, well, why am I going to write this down on a note card when I can just Xerox the whole article and just like underline the parts that, why do I have to copy it all over again? But I can't even imagine if I'd been doing that like the kids now. Everything's online and they can just copy and paste it. And trying to keep track of that it's got to be a nightmare, you know, because how are you going to, you got to remember what you took from where, and there's systems for it, but it's just so easy to introduce error. So it's a complicated task. And I appreciate the high school teachers who really tried to sort of scare us into a certain sort of compliance when we were young, but it really isn't that easy. And the further you go beyond high school, the more complicated it gets.
Well, Susan, that's what we talked about because she was the president of Harvard University, and we're not disputing, let's put that right out there right now, that what Claudine Gay did through her dissertation and through some of her academic works met the bar of the technicality of plagiarism. It was there. Help us, though, understand. So we say copying note cards. You had a great little YouTube video you shared with me. What's the definition of plagiarism?
Oh, that's such a great question. So the one that I like to share with people is one I found at Texas A&M on their website about academic honesty. And it's, plagiarism means the appropriation of another person's ideas, processes, results, or words without giving appropriate credit. Which seems makes sense, right? Seems pretty easy to understand. And it's such a tidy, complete definition that, in fact, you will find it all over the internet. You can find it at Caltech, University of South Carolina, Oregon State, Northwestern, Penn State, Brown. They all use this same definition and nobody cites it. They use the exact same one. And the reason that they're using it is it ultimately comes from the National Science Foundation. That's the NSF's definition. And so, of course, if you're a research university who wants to get NSF funding, you want to make darn sure that everybody at your school is abiding by the NSF definitions for plagiarism and they understand it. So you're going to use it. But that doesn't explain why they don't cite it. Right? It's like the definition says you have to cite it, but then they don't cite it. And nobody's calling that plagiarism. Nobody is reporting these schools to the NSF and saying, hey, they plagiarized your plagiarism statement. You need to take their funding away. That's not considered plagiarism, even though, like the phrase that you used, it meets the bar right? Yeah. If you take a literal definition, you can say that it meets the bar. When you look at what Claudine Gay did in the elements that were brought up in media scrutiny, she did some things that were a little different. She more often was taking, looked like she was paraphrasing from specific authors, but she would leave in sections that were too much verbatim text, exactly the same words. And so that's something that happens really often too when you are engaged in an academic. So you're both academics and you write an academic paper and you're citing sources from within your field. You want to bring in this theorist and this person who did this study. And if you think about what that feels like in your head when you're doing it, the cognitive psychologist would say it is incredibly cognitively taxing to have all these voices in your head. And it's kind of like you're trying to put on a little puppet show in your head as you're thinking through this. So Marx says, and then Engels over here says, but I'm saying you're trying to control all these voices. And when you are paraphrasing and directly quoting and trying to mix that and fit it in with your own ideas, it's very easy to have that kind of slippage. So what she did is super, super common. Now, we have a dissertation committee that's supposed to be checking.
Yeah, and we'll talk that. But I like what you just said, though, there. And anybody who has multiple voices in your head, we're not picking on you. But that idea, though, what you just said is because I'm imagining now when I'm doing my academic writing that I'm like Lupinacci said, Shorn said, so-and-so said. Mm-hmm. And because the three of those people said, I now think blank. And is it okay for me to go, because I understand what the three of these authors said, can I make my own determination of how I think it makes me feel about what I can say? And can I do that without saying Lupinacci and Susan were the people that gave me the inspiration to write my own thought?
Right. And that's always the struggle for any academic writer, is knowing when you have an independent thought, when you need to cite the people that helped you come up with that idea, because an academic field is an ongoing conversation, right? You're always jumping into some conversation at the party and you've got to get up to speed and you've got to include everybody and you've got to account for everything. So it's a very, very active sort of situation to put yourself in the middle of. And that's why especially with students, high school students, like we keep it really limited. You're supposed to use four sources and you're supposed to quote everybody, and we try to keep them out of trouble. But as you move further along, it gets more complicated.
Well, I think about it. So Johnny Lupinacci, are we making sense now? You think if you're my neighbor, this whole idea, I just heard on the news that the past president of Harvard had to step down because she was stealing people's ideas. We're trying to break, I know we're coming up on the break, but I just want, does this make sense?
Well, I think what's important is we got a good definition of what it means to plagiarize. And then there's gray area. And that's not saying it's okay to plagiarize a little, but not, but there is like grades of this. And I think right now, at least even as myself, as an author and editor, and work in scholarly writing, it's a pretty big accusation to make the accusation and provide proof of plagiarism. And there is, because of that gray area, I think in this case with the past president of most recent past president of Harvard, it was the gray area was really used and abused in order to launch an attack on an academic. Now that said, there's some, I mean, as an editor and as a writer, like I'm like, oh, this is also why we want our stuff air tight.
We want it tight, and we're gonna keep it tight. Busted, yeah. Busted Pencils, fully leaded, more plagiarism when we get back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Elf Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Say it with me, the Buck.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRC.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number is 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. If you have a good definition of plagiarism, give us a call. Share it with us because we want to know, were you one of those people like me and Susan where you were taking and remembering taking 3x5-inch note cards, writing notes down, lining them up, putting together, almost looking like some kind of like weird conspiracy theory, putting strings together, making connections there, and then weaving together a story and hoping to goodness that your English teacher didn't say, "You aren't allowed to do that. You should have used direct quotation marks." That's what we're talking about, plagiarism. The past president, the most recent past president, she resigned. Claudine Gay stepped down amidst charges of academic plagiarism, of which were, and we said with our expert, Susan, she did. Susan, she plagiarized. Johnny was talking about a little bit in the gray. How... when you and I were talking this afternoon, getting ready for this, I think this is also worth talking about. We mentioned this. It gets, we're going to go after, like, so why did this happen? Why did they go after plagiarism? But before we get there, is to think about, how is it that somebody who's the president of Harvard or even like that, like, people don't, I don't think people understand what it means to do academic writing necessarily, right? Because there is a process, and you may have mentioned to this, so to get those letters PhD attached to your name, EDD, all those ways, there's a group of other people who kind of say, yeah, you did it, or yeah, you didn't do it. And when we say talk about you did it, that's writing that big long-term paper, the one you had to write in 11th grade. When you're writing it to be Dr. So-and-so, you write it like 3 times the size, 5 times the size. But there's a group of people who are supposed to be kind of checking on you and saying you're doing okay. What happened here? How did her dissertation, because according to the what we saw, Claudine Gay plagiarized technically some of her dissertation. Shouldn't the dissertation kind of members who were saying you did, shouldn't they have some responsibility in this?
I think they do. And I haven't seen any comment from them or anybody who has sought comment from them. I believe her committee was 3 people, and I think 2 of them were white men. So maybe that's one reason nobody's questioning their judgment on this. Not sure. But they should have read it closely. They probably should have caught some of this, especially the sections where there were citations at the end of a paragraph. But I think some of what was going on, too, is what we see with when, as you move forward in a discipline and you become higher status and higher rank, you actually have access to more of what's considered common knowledge. So you cite less. So an undergraduate, for example, who's writing about cellular biology is going to cite laboratory process descriptions about like how potassium moves across a cell membrane. Whereas if you're a neuroscientist writing for a journal, you're not going to cite that information because everybody you're writing for knows that. And it would look weird if you cited that. You would look like you thought that everybody else was kind of stupid. So so as you're advancing in academia, you let go of some of your citation and you use more of what's out there as common knowledge. And that's one reason that plagiarism is so easily weaponized against people from marginalized communities, because unlike grammar standards, which tend to get applied at the first bar, like if you use a double negative, you're not going to even get a job interview. But if you are plagiarizing, the charge tends to be against people who have been, someone considers that they've gotten above their station, that they are overconfident in the amount of status that they had, that they took words and ideas from people or considered something common knowledge that a lot of other people also consider common knowledge. But because this person's somebody that we don't want to see with that much status, we're going to go after them. So it gets weaponized in that particular way.
Lupinacci, Johnny, I saw you kind of going like, yeah, cell membranes. Wait a minute. But as a neuroscientist, I'm not going to talk about that. Made me think, Johnny, it's like, so do you cite Piaget anymore?
I mean, I never cite Piaget. That's my own beef with that work. I mean, if I was writing, I think this is a tough thing. And I think it does. I mean, it opens up a lot of can of worms. I think, you know, there's a whole lot of conversations to be had about what is the role of a dissertation committee and what is the role of universities in terms in general. Like some universities have a system of checks and balances that are beyond the committee. The committee is focused on content and everything and might miss things, but then they have a whole office of like editor support and that runs through dissertations to help make sure this, you know, and it's same thing at journals, and editors deal with this all the time in terms of, you know, how much as you read more of this work, you begin to notice when there's not proper citation. Like it really stands out. And I say that having worked in writing pre-Turnitin.com and automated detections of plagiarism. And I put scare quotes up for our radio listeners here. You know, if you're not watching on the video feed, I mean, I think there are ways where we can find word associations that trigger or alarm what we might be able to call low or mid-grade plagiarism. And you have to really read carefully and see, did the person maybe in that paragraph introduce, say, like the author had said this, this, and this, and then said, and so it might oftentimes be like light detection of plagiarism that isn't really like just blatant, like I'm stealing ideas and pretending they're my own, or I'm putting something forward that aren't words I put together, but they're lifted from other people's, you know, books or articles or pieces of work. So I think there's like layers of this that we turn into like a point the finger who's blaming. I even told you, Tim, about this. I'm excited for us to talk about this because I love when there's tension and controversy around something that helps us think critically about where we're at with stuff. And I think accusing people of plagiarism is like about, you know, like par for the course, if I might say, for how can we attack and you know, Dr. Shorn shared this here, people who we don't think should have authority in what they're sharing. And, you know, the big thing for me was looking at this case more closely, and I don't have access to all the evidence. I didn't dig deep enough. I'm sure it's public record out there. But what I did see is people say, hey, you know what? I don't feel like this person in any way stole my ideas. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like this person in any way purported what I was putting out there in some advantage that disadvantaged me and advantaged them. And so, you know, I think that's a big piece of it, is there is enough gray area that we can point fingers and throw darts at one another really and really close proximity. And to me, that's kind of what's happening here, is it's a person who we don't, for a particular group, don't want to accept their power and authority. And so there's just enough area for us to create havoc around it to do harm. Yeah. And it's going to, and this is my prediction, it's going to cause a whole lot of mess.
It's a big mess that's coming. We know that. We know so much is coming. You know, we're going to even throw this in there, you know, coming up on this next break here. But, you know, racism. Did racism have anything to do with this plagiarism? Our guest is Dr. Susan Shorn, Senior Program Coordinator at the University of Texas, Austin. We are talking plagiarism for my next door neighbor. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Call us next break or next time, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We want to hear your definition of plagiarism. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, back after the break.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.
The first contest in the Republican presidential primary is just 24 hours away. And ahead of the Iowa caucuses, ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Des Moines says the polls show one candidate in the lead.
The ABC News Ipsos poll finds GOP-leaning voters score Donald Trump best by far on electability, leadership, and qualifications. When it comes to who's thought to have the best chance in November, Trump is ahead of his nearest rival by 56 points.
Major hurdle for caucus day are the expected record low temperatures, part of a pattern of winter weather being blamed for 3 deaths in Oregon, thousands of flight cancellations nationwide, and last night in Kansas City, the 4th coldest NFL game in history. China's foreign ministry says the U.S. message congratulating the newly elected president of Taiwan violates China's One China policy. China considers Taiwan a breakaway province and has labeled the new president a troublemaker. This is ABC News.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Keeping the power on is one of the biggest challenges in a big winter storm. 23,000 homes and businesses in Wisconsin lost their electricity at one point Friday morning. The hardest hit area was Milwaukee County. Wisconsin lawmakers will likely take up tax cuts again. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says it would be hard to cut taxes without also cutting public services. Democrats say they'll prioritize working families.
People do want to have the services that are going to allow them and their families to live a good life in their communities. And they also want to feel like their tax burden is fair, right? And they see the benefit of that. So we try to balance all of those things.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing
process. Meteorologist Rodney
Price,
wind chill advisory in effect as the wind chill will get down close to 25 below zero at times, thanks to gusty west winds. We'll see plenty of clouds or highs just barely above the zero mark. Tonight, as cold as 15 below, the wind chill colder than 30 below. It's 9 below at our studios.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The first contest in the Republican presidential primary is just 24 hours away. And ahead of the Iowa caucuses, ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Des Moines says the polls show one candidate in the lead.
The ABC News Ipsos poll finds GOP-leaning voters score Donald Trump best by far on electability, leadership, and qualifications. When it comes to who's thought to have the best chance in November, Trump is ahead of his nearest rival by 56 points.
Major hurdle for caucus there, the expected
this
record
is
low
news
temperatures,
from the Center,
part of
WRCE.
A pattern of winter weather being blamed for 3 deaths in
ABC
Oregon.
ABC News,
thousands of flight
Brian
cancellations
Clark.
Nationwide.
The first contest
last
in the Republican
in
presidential primary is just 24 hours away.
And ahead of the
China's
Iowa
foreign
caucuses,
ministry says
ABC's
the U.S.
Stephen
message
Portnoy
congratulating
says the
newly
elected
show,
president of Taiwan
in the
violates China's one-China policy. China considers Taiwan a
Trump
breakaway province and has labeled the new president
and
a troublemaker. This is ABC News.
Who's thought to have the best chance in November, Trump is ahead of his nearest rival by 56 points.
Major hurdle for caucus day are the expected record low temperatures, part of a pattern of winter weather being blamed for 3 deaths in Oregon, thousands of flight cancellations nationwide, and last night in Kansas City, the 4th coldest NFL game in history. China's foreign ministry says the U.S. message congratulating the newly elected president of Taiwan violates China's One China policy. China considers Taiwan a breakaway province and has labeled the new president a troublemaker. This is ABC News.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.